Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Y'all doing well?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear that. Glad you're here with us today to worship us. Many of you are members or regular attenders. We're glad you're here. Some of you are here for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time. And we're excited that you're here with us as well. We begin our time of worship by giving everyone a chance just to say hello to each other. Maybe someone in front of you or behind you. As you know, we're into the season that we are participating in, Operation Christmas Child. It is a ministry that Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, has been doing for decades now. And it is a time where churches literally around the world gather gifts that can be packed into a shoebox and then literally sent all over the world and given to children so that they can have a gift on Christmas Day to open up, inside of which there are all kinds of toys and gifts that they receive, not the least of which, as a matter of fact, the best gift of which is a plan of salvation where they learn about Jesus in their own language and is presented to them so they have an opportunity to make a commitment to Christ, not only them, but their family as well. And we've participated in this as long as we've been a church. And again, many of it doesn't even matter what denomination, anyone can do this, and we're glad to be a part of doing that. In your bulletin this morning, you should find a variety of handouts. Some of these we've started handing out a couple of weeks ago, then last week. The reason we're putting them in again and again is some of you weren't here 2 weeks ago or last week, so you're getting caught up on these. So there's some instructions there about how to pack a shoebox. As a matter of fact, we have shoeboxes out now that you can get, all right? And on the outside, it gives you a chance to indicate, are you packing for a boy or a girl, and then what age group you're packing for. Fill that in, check it off, and then you can pick your box, or two, or three. Some of you, I just dare you to pick up four or five. My wife will pay you. She will pay you to pick up 10. What do you think about that, Libs? No? Huh? She's just laughing with joy or surprise, I don't know which. You can start taking these home with you today, okay? And sure enough, take as many as you want. And if you're just not into like packing these, that's fine. You can give monetarily to our church. If you want to write a check, please indicate on your check that this is for OCC, not to the general fund of the church, but to OCC. You can write a check for 20, 30, 100, 200, whatever you want, and we'll pack as many boxes as we can with that money. Does that make sense? All right, so get your boxes today and take more than one. Take as many as you think you're going to be able to use. And we have a time that it'll come back. Don't think about the time he gave you. Is it in there, Loria, what time they're coming?
November the 10th is when we need them back.
We need them back here on November the 10th. We'll have a big time there. Bring the boxes down here. We'll pray over them. Then we're going to take them to our drop-off location so they'll get where they need to be. Got it? All right. Very good. Let's pray together, okay? Father, I want to thank you for opportunities to serve you by serving others. And one of the ways to do that is a very simple way to fill these boxes with gifts for children literally around the world who otherwise not only wouldn't have gifts at Christmas, but who may not have what it is and what it takes to present the good news of Jesus for them. And that's what we pray most for, that these children and these families will have the opportunity to hear the good news that Jesus loves them and that they can receive his love that will change their lives, that their families will have an opportunity to understand and receive the love of Jesus. So bless us as we become participants in that. Now bless our time of worship, Lord, as we continue. Guide us through it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Started a series of messages, a couple of weeks ago called Radical Living. And radical here is not used as some type of lifestyle that's out there in a negative way. Radical, actually, the root word for radical means grounded. And so we're talking about a grounded life, radical living. Today is the third message. I'm going to be talking about radical joy. So in your bulletin, you should see the outline. Go ahead and take that out. Hope you have a pen or pencil or something to fill in the outline as we go. We're going to be talking about radical joy. Now, if there's any one word that's supposed to describe the Christian life, I would say that it is joy. A lot of people think that following Christ is all about rules and regulations and rituals, but actually, it's about joy. Look what Paul wrote in Romans 14, verse 17. He said, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Life isn't about external pleasures. It's about peace and joy, no matter what the external circumstances of life are. Paul said in Philippians 1:25, "I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith." Did you know that the more you grow in Christ, the more joyful God will make in your heart his presence? To be radically joyful means to be joyful all the time. Radical joy is what is talked about in Philippians 4:4, which says this, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Now, please understand, I'm not talking here about being happy. Happiness is circumstantial. We're happiness when our circumstances make us that way. At times, our circumstances are good to us, and we feel happy. I think about the time last year, Libby and I were very blessed to be able to see my oldest grandson play baseball. He played baseball for James Island High School as a senior, and he played for 4 years, and as a senior, he had a chance to play quite a bit. Matter of fact, we watched them win the 4A state high school championship up in Lawrence, South Carolina. And it just so happened, I'm not going to be a proud grandpa or anything, but he got to pitch the last three innings of the last game. And there was one hit and one walk. He struck everybody else out, won the game, and it was crazy. Remember, Libby? Everybody was going nuts. And you know, I'm kind of reserved, but I was even going nuts. And now he plays for the University of South Carolina. He plays for, the Sumter team, University of South Carolina. It's a two-year college, but he plays there, and they're actually called the Fire Ants. And I just found out, he called his dad, he was pitching, and in the game, one of the pitches he threw were clocked at 90 miles an hour. Until then, I think his highest was like 86 or 88, 90 miles an hour. And I'm just thrilled. I mean, I'm happy about that. But all of that is an external circumstance that brings us happiness, right? That's different from joy. Joy is a sense of presence inside that even when he's not throwing 90, I still have a sense of peace and joy inside of my life. So how is it possible to have joy in spite of things that happen in life that aren't particularly joyful? You go back to the verse that we just looked at in Philippians 4:4, and the key words there are, we are full of joy in the Lord. In the Lord, we can have joy no matter what our circumstances are. And so in Romans chapter 8, we find 6 reasons for radical joy. Reasons we can be joyful no matter what's happening to us in everyday life. So I'm going to look at those reasons with you. Reasons we can have a sense of joy no matter what else is going on. So first is this. If I am in Christ, I can have joy because God has completely forgiven me. God has completely forgiven me. God has forgiven me of all things, and because of that, There's no guilt, no shame, no remorse, no regrets. God has wiped all of my guilt away. It's wiped out. And that's a good reason for joy. In Romans 8, verse 1, Paul said, "There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." Would you underline two words in that verse? Now, no. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience a fully forgiven life. He said there is now no condemnation on you. Right now, even in the midst of your shortcomings, your sin, your disobedience, there is now no condemnation whatsoever. This very instant, tomorrow, the day after that, there is now no condemnation because of what Jesus has done for you. He took your condemnation and mine upon himself so we would never have to feel that way again. And this is important because the number one reason people lose their joy is guilt and shame. Guilt and shame are killjoys. You cannot be joyful and be living in regret at the same time. God says, "Come to me, receive my forgiveness through my Son, and there in him you will find no condemnation whatsoever." Does God ever want you to feel guilty? Yes, he does. When you've done something wrong, when you've disobeyed God, when you haven't done what he's asked you to do, he wants you to feel guilty. That's good guilt. That's the Holy Spirit saying, knock, 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 hey, 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 you missed it. And he wants you to feel guilty just long enough for you to say, "God, I'm sorry, please forgive me." Bam, and as soon as you do that, it's gone. If you feel guilty after that, that's not God's good guilt. That's Satan trying to drag you down the drain. When Jesus died on the cross, folks, he didn't just die for the sins you've already committed. He died for the ones you haven't committed yet. His blood, when he died on the cross, covered all the sins that you've committed, that you are committing, and that you're going to commit one day. Are any of you here old enough to remember the TV show Columbo? Some of you. I remember watching one of the episodes in Columbo when the guest star that week was Johnny Cash. If you really are a country music fan, you got to know who Johnny Cash is. In that episode, he was the bad guy. And at the end of the episode, Johnny Cash's character, he gets caught. And Cash gives this classic line to Columbo. He says, "I'm actually glad I got caught because the guilt was killing me." Folks, the guilt of our wrongdoings, the guilt of our sins will wear us out, will bring us down, will overburden us to the point of no return. And there's nothing joyous about that. The reason we can have joy in the midst of our corruption, our depravity, our selfishness, our badness is because we're not condemned for what we've done wrong. We're not condemned for what we're doing wrong or what we're going to do wrong. Because the Bible tells us there's no condemnation on us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross that forgives us. Sometimes I think that's not fair. And you know what? It's not. But God set the rules up, not me. No condemnation, none. Buy into it. It's truth. It's the first reason that you can have radical joy, that God has already completely forgiven you. Get it? Understand? Let it sink in. There's another reason you can be radically joyful. Number two, because God has given me eternal life. He's given me eternal life. What that means, among other things, is that death is not the end. Folks, this is not all there is. One day, you're going to die, I'm going to die, your heart's going to stop, but that's not the end of you. Paul said this in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit. He'll give life to your mortal body. You realize we all have mortal bodies, right? Anybody looked in the mirror lately? Compare that with your little pictures when you were a child, compared to when you were in high school. You know, you could do this and it meant something. You're not half the man or woman you used to be. More likely, you're double the man you used to be. Don't laugh, ladies. I don't want to have to say it to you, too. Everything is decaying and declining. There's baldness, bulges, bifocals, back pain, baritis. I was just in the bees. I didn't want to go any further. What's heaven going to be like? When we go from our mortal bodies, what's heaven going to be like? First and foremost, we're going to be able to worship God face to face in his presence. Reminds me of the song I Can Only Imagine, where it says, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Folks, when we die, the first place we're going to be is at the feet of Jesus in the presence of God Almighty. And we're going to be able to worship God the way we were always meant to do. In here, we have good worship every week. In here, sometimes we have, like, great worship. Sometimes you can just feel the presence of God, and we're like, let's just be quiet. That doesn't even compare to what it's going to be like one day in heaven. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to worship God. And then we're going to be changed physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. We're going to be reunited with people that we love. There are going to be rewards in heaven. There's going to be rest in heaven. There's going to be responsibilities in heaven. God's going to give us things and we're actually going to like to do them. God has given us eternal life, folks. And that is reason to be joyful. There's another reason, number three. If I'm in Christ, God is working all things for good. God is working all things for good. Now, if you haven't noticed, in this lifetime, we make mistakes. But God doesn't. When we make mistakes is an easy word. When we sin, when we choose to do something we know God doesn't want us to do, or when we don't do something that God said, I want you to do, God says, I'm going to work it out. Even when you do something you shouldn't have done, I'm going to work that out for good. You shouldn't have done it. You sinned. You need to ask forgiveness. I'm even going to work that out somehow for good. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Underline the word all. What does that mean? It means when I place my life into the hands of Jesus, and in Christ, my life is almost goof-proof. I may still make bad decisions. People may make bad decisions that negatively affect me, but God says he's going to work it out. Even when we go against his will, he's still going to somehow work it out for good. It doesn't mean we get off for doing something wrong or out of his will. He sometimes still needs to discipline us. But he's going to take the circumstance and he's still going to make something good out of it. This means we can have a whole lot more relaxation in our lives. We can stop being so anxious. We can realize God's going to work something good out of us, even if we made a mess of things. God's going to work it out for good, and that's a reason we can have a sense of joy. But how do you feel joyful? How can you be joyful even in the tough times? There are two things you can do. You can look past the problem, you can look past the pain, and you can look toward God and his solution. This is how Jesus was able to endure the cross. There was part of Jesus that didn't want to die. It was a hellacious death on the cross. He knew he was going to be in pain. He knew he was going to suffer. And if you remember, the Bible says that Jesus even asked God right near the end of his death. He said, God, if there's any way you can take this away. Jesus said, I don't want to do it. He said, God, take this away. I don't want to go through with it anymore. But your will, God, be done. I don't want it, but your will be done. He knew the reality of the pain and suffering he was going to have to go through. But ultimately, he trusted his Father. Look what it says in Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. How did he endure the cross? He did it this way. He looked past it to see the joy of all the people who were going to be saved through it. He looked past the pain and he saw the purpose. He saw God's plan. Some of you are enduring hardships and trials and difficulties right now that are causing you to struggle. Struggle in your emotions or your spiritual life or in a relationship, and you're ready to quit and just walk away. But I want to encourage you not to automatically walk away from trials, because sometimes we need to just walk through them and allow God to work through them to encourage us or to teach us. So we will be ready for the next one that comes along our way. Sometimes we just got to go through them. Many of you know I'm a Baltimore Orioles baseball fan. Way back in 1970, Paul Blair, who was the center fielder for the Orioles, not an outstanding player, good enough to play professional baseball. He was fast, really a fast runner, a great outfielder, good hitter. In 1970, Paul Blair was up to bat, and he was hit in the face. Now, this is before they had helmets with all these guards. This was the helmet that just right here. He was hit in the face, in the left cheek and nose, with a fastball, instantly dropped down to the ground. He suffered a broken nose, multiple face fractures in his cheek. I thought he was done, his career was over. He was out of baseball for some time. Later that year, came back in, got back in the lineup. We all wondered how he was going to bat. And for a while, honestly, he was skittish about batting. His batting average dropped down. 3 years later, he worked his way back up to his normal hitting. And in 1973, Blair hit an inside-the-park grand slam against the Kansas City Royals. I saw it. Kansas City Royals, the ball was hit in between the left and right center, center right, and these two guys were trying to catch, and they hit each other. And I don't mean they just hit each other. I mean, bam, they were out. The other outfielder is way over here. Paul Blair came all the way around, a legitimate inside-the-park grand slam, one of the few people in Major League Baseball that's ever done that. And if Blair had never gotten up and gotten back in the baseball in the batter's box and worked through that trial, he would never have accomplished that. Sometimes you got to walk through them. Wilma Rudolph, suffered scarlet fever, whooping cough, and the measles. She survived infantile paralysis and required a leg brace until she was 9 years old. And despite the trials, Wilma refused to allow her difficulties to defeat her. She participated in the 1956 and the 1960 Olympics. She won 3 gold medals, setting world records in all 3 events. She was considered the fastest woman on earth. Folks, many things in life are going to knock us down. Relationship issues, work challenges, health problems. Keep walking through. Remember, folks, with God, every setback is a setup for a comeback. Just because you struggle doesn't mean you have to quit. Endure it for the plan that God has for you, and realize in the midst of all of that, you don't have to be happy, but you can still be joyful that God is working things out in your life. Number 4. Another reason we can be joyful is that God is for me. God is for me. He's not just with me. He's on our side. Romans 8:31. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who? Who in the world can ever be against us? Folks, a lot of people may be against us, but not successfully, at least not in light of eternity. People may hound us, remind us the times we've sinned and failed, but God is for us. Folks, if there are people in Satan accusing us, then here is God with us saying, hey, it's okay, I'm for you. Folks, God is ultimately going to win the battle. God has already won that battle, and because he allows us to be his children, when our Father wins, we win too. Romans 8:33 says this, who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one. Because God is the one who makes them right. Folks, when I hear those words, it just takes a burden off of my shoulders. People, if it was up to me and people accused me, I would be in trouble, big trouble. But if they accuse me, I don't have to worry because I'm not the one making it right. God is. God makes us right. The reason people can't successfully accuse us is because we aren't the ones who make ourselves right. God makes us right. So the next time someone or Satan tries to tell you how unworthy you are or how far short you are, how far away from God you are to try and make you feel guilty or shameful, just tell them, hey, that's not my argument. Take that up with God. Take that argument up with God. God is for you. He's the one that can argue that with those people or with Satan. He's for you. On June 25th in 1981, Eugene Lang returned to the elementary school he had attended 53 years earlier. He now was a successful businessman, a man worth millions of dollars, but the neighborhood he'd grown up in had changed drastically. East Harlem's children were poor, and the dropout rate for the community schools was among the highest in the nation. As Lang made the standard graduation day speech about working hard, studying, and going to college, he noticed that hardly anyone was even paying attention. So he changed his speech. He said, "This is your first graduation. Just the perfect time to dream." He said, dream of what you want to be, the kind of life that you wish to build, and begin to live that dream. He said, you must study. You must attend junior high and high school and then college. And he said, the words I could tell just were empty and no one was really listening. These kids weren't trying, they weren't engaging. And he said, statistics, history argues against the speech. But then he says, hey, stay in school. And I will, then he gave silence. He said, I will give each of you a college scholarship. He said, after a second of silence, a wave of emotion, cheering and applause, excited, conversation rolled over the room, and it was the start of an amazing movement that has seen more than 12,000 students attend college with the help of more than 200 additional generous sponsors. To say the least, those sixth graders and their families found out that Eugene Lang was for them. Folks, doesn't it make a difference when you find that there really is someone who's for you, who's in your corner? We can have radical joy because God is for us. He's in our corner, meeting the needs that we have, arguing against anybody who comes against us. We can have radical joy because we're forgiven, we have eternal life, because God works out good for things that happen to us, and because God is for me. And number five, we can have radical joy because God meets all of our needs. Romans 8:32, Paul said this, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Paul's using some logic here. If God loved you enough to come to the earth and die on the cross for your sins, don't you think that anything else is just small potatoes? When God solved your biggest problem and came to earth to die for you, don't you think he cares about you enough to take care of all the smaller issues? Don't you think he cares about your relationships or your health or your job, your career? He does. He cares about all of that. And that's a reason to be joyful. I don't always get what I want, when I want it, how I want it. I may not even see how God's at work, but I trust that he is. And I take joy in that. Look at Philippians 4:19. Paul said this. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He's promised to meet the needs of those in Christ. He doesn't say he'll meet all your greed. He doesn't say he'll meet all the things you want when you want them, how you want them, but he'll take care of your needs. John 16:24, ask using my name and you will receive. And you will have abundant, what? Joy. God wants you to ask in prayer more than you do. God wants you to pray and get answers more than you do. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a storehouse up there, I think. And you're going to go inside the storehouse, and there's going to be all these incredible gifts and neat experiences and things. There's going to be with a little tag on it. And every one of the tags is going to have a thing on there that says, never asked for. You say, what is this? And it's going to say, these are things I had ready for you, but you never asked for them. Specifically, you never asked for them. So ask them. What's it going to hurt? What's the least God can say? No, not yet. So ask them. You never know. You never know. Sometimes the reason we don't see miracles is we simply don't ask God to do them. We haven't mentioned much about our building program or renovation program because it's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes to get ready for it. We're almost at a point where we're ready to bring some stuff back to you. And I hope you continue to pray for it. I'm not even sure if it's been on your radar yet, and because we haven't said a lot about it, because there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes. But we're going to get back with you really quickly. Okay? And we need you to pray about that with us. Because it's going to be great, but it's not going to be free. What? But I don't think it's out of God's reach. So let's ask God about it. Okay? Let's ask God for the miracles. Let's ask God to do the things we can't do. Let's ask God to do the things that we can't even imagine doing. All right? And number six, we can be full of joy because God will never, never, never stop loving me. Now, what happens in my life? Things go wrong, things go right, plans go awry, whatever. God will never stop loving me. And we can count on that. Look at Romans 8, 38 through 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know how I say underline that word, underline these words, underline the whole verses. Nothing, nothing. Folks, when you come to Christ and you say, I'm going to put my hand in your hand, folks, God grabs onto it. When you say, I'm going to trust you, I want to love you, God grabs onto that. You say, I want to be the person, God, that you meant for me to be. And God says, I'm holding on to you and I will never let go. I will never stop loving you. Even if you let go of me, I will never let go of you. I will love you forever. Forever. He's there for you. He's there to support you. Even if you fall, you stumble, you choose to go down the wrong road, he is there for you. Look at this picture. Do any of you recognize that? What is that? Golden Gate Bridge. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was completed. It cost over $35 million to build. That's $852 million today in today's money. It was completed in two phases. The first slowly, the second rapidly. In the first stage, there were no safety devices used. Look at this picture. They're up there. I could never do it. I get dizzy just watching that, just looking at that. Notice underneath of where he's walking, there's no safety catch, no net used. Look at the next picture. Same thing. All up there walking down, there's absolutely no safety device used. As a result, 23 men fell to their death building that bridge. However, look at this last bit. Later in the next stage of the build, there was finally a large safety net built. And at least 10 men who fell into the net, and they were saved from certain death. And once that net was installed, production increased by 25%. Lives were saved because the men were assured of their security and they were free to wholeheartedly serve the project. Now, folks, when you come to God, and you give him control of your life, you have a safety net of sorts with God. The safety net is his unconditional acceptance of and love for you no matter what. Even when you stumble and fall and sin, even when you don't listen to God, he's always there for you. With his love. And he will always catch you when you fall. That's how much God loves you. Folks, God wants you to experience his radical joy. But some of you have never had it because maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus yet. Maybe you haven't given your control of your life to God. You can do that today. Maybe for the first time, you can say, God, I want you in my life. Maybe you've given God control of your life, but you still take things back under your control. Maybe it's time for you just to say, God, once again, I want to place my life under your control. You don't need to be saved again, but you just need to renew your commitment to God again. Maybe you need to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51, where he said, restore to me again the joy of your salvation. I don't know a Christian who's alive that didn't need to pray that prayer every once in a while. God, I know I'm saved. I know you're a child, but God, I need you to restore to me again the joy of your salvation. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you for your word to us today. That you want us to live with radical joy. Happiness comes and goes. We're great when we experience happiness in life. But when life just goes along average, or even when we experience a lack of happiness, maybe even sadness, joy can be there all the time. So, Lord, may you help our minds and our hearts understand and buy into the joy that you want us to have, no matter what our external circumstances are. Help that joy to come alive. The reasons we've looked at and studied about this morning. Bring that joy to everyone here today. Renew the joy, Father, of our salvation. And Lord, we ask that you will bless those of us who are having a struggle in that area. Maybe we've been so externally focused that we've gotten out of touch with what it's like to have joy in the midst of the storm. Maybe the storms have overwhelmed us so much for so long that we've gotten out of touch with the joy that you offer. Just begin to speak to us and be gentle with us and help us to understand again that while we don't always see it, you're ultimately in control. And we're going to trust you with what's going on in life. And every once in a while, God, we just need to sit down and think about the things that you offer to us through Christ and give us that experience of joy again. Bless our time, Father, of response. As you work in our lives and the life of our church, have your will, have your way done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity, as we do every week, to respond to what God's doing in your life. Maybe that has to do with the message today. Maybe some of you feel like the joy is gone. Maybe as we went over these six reasons why you can have joy in your life, you need to pick up on one of those or a couple of those and say, God, just bring that sense of joy back into my life. Maybe there are some other things going on in your life that you need to respond to God, some things that are overwhelming you. Maybe you have a sense of blessing God and joyful and happiness to God, and you just want to bless him and praise him. I want to give you a chance to do that.
Yeah, give Jonathan a hand. Jonathan, thank you for that. Three announcements. Here we go. By the way, Kevin, that is the best announcement for OCC I've ever seen earlier. That was fantastic. Everybody give Kevin a hand for that. He's been doing this a couple years, so, you know, he's got that. But here we go. GPS, Grace Point students meeting tonight. Not only is Pastor Kevin doing a great job on that announcement, he's hosting the youth tonight. So pray for Libby and Kevin. I'll give you a little heads up there. We're going to be enjoying a walk around Whitney Lake over on Johns Island, kind of talking about God's creation. So 6 o'clock over there, you see the address, 1760 B-Balm. Second one is the OCC announcement. You've got all that, all those things in your bulletin. Get ready for that. And then our James Island Outreach Ministry, that will be on the 29th and 31st. That's Halloween, Jonathan. Wow. So be ready. I know, Jason, you went down there last time. How'd that go? Going again. All right. So a great time over there if you can help out on that as well. This last song, Jason, I hope they'll clap their hands on this one. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. Let's pray. Have a great day. Youth, we'll see you tonight. Invite a friend. Come on out. And Lord, thank you for the great joy that we feel. May it not just be a temporary happiness, but an eternal joy. Lord, we thank you. We don't deserve that, but you give it to us. We thank you for that. Lord, those who are here for the first time, those who are here for the 100th time, we thank you for each one, Lord. Go with us now with that radical joy. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.